Well, Shane Jones is Deputy Leader of New Zealand First Minister for Resources. Thank you for joining us today. We've got a number of things to talk about. Hey, Shane, kia ora.
Hey, Ata Maria, folks, on the road heading to Marsden Point.
What's happening there, Shane?
The 100 million litre tank is now full of diesel. Prime Minister and I are there. I think Nicola Willis is joining us to actually affirm the mahi that was done to rapidly upgrade that tank and to celebrate the fact that we can actually get something done in a relatively short period of time in New Zealand, and we've got a buffer of fuel. And although we're in a lull at the moment, who knows what the next development will be in the Middle East.
Yeah, or in the Pacific. We'll touch on that in a moment. Just give us another overview of the importance of the work on the tank, what was involved, who was involved, how it was achieved so quickly.
Well, just to remind everyone, there's 700 million odd litres of storage capacity, which is sitting there idle, not the entirety of it. That goes back to the heyday when Muldoon and that generation of political leadership created the refinery. It fell into disuse after it was closed down at the time of the Jacinda Ardern government. We made a call along with the owners that 100 million litre tank should be rapidly recommissioned. The money came out of the Regional Infrastructure Fund, the tradies out of Taranaki, Whangarei, Sektu. Within 4 to 5 weeks, it was completely recommissioned. A deal was done through the Crown and some specialist advisors. Tankers were dispatched from Southeast Asia, and now the fuel is sitting in that tank, and it'll be released subject to market conditions, and it'll create additional fuel supply, and it's really a hedge against ongoing uncertainty coming out of the Persian Gulf.
Okay, a couple of things. You're closely involved in the Māori fisheries policy and settlement arrangements when quotas were established. Concerns about our quota system, how it might prioritise allocation and ownership over long-term sustainability, and perhaps you can morph that into the launch of a new deep-sea vessel that we wanted to make some commentary on in Timaru, Shane.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a highly contested area in the upcoming election. We both know that. New generation of politicians coming through, they don't want bottom trawling. I mean, naturally, I don't agree with that. 70% of the fish in New Zealand is harvested and caught through bottom trawling. The acid is on the industry to continually upgrade technology and harvesting techniques. But there's a brand new 80-metre vessel made in Turkey, funded out of Japan, flagged in New Zealand. Solander Fisheries, Charles Hufflett, grand old man of the New Zealand fishing industry. I was invited to Timaru, and it was launched. And the karakia was given by Harvey Ruru Kraitiana, kaumātua of Ngāi Tahu, kaumātua of Taranaki. It was a grand affair. 50, 60 people employed recently came back home, well, shall I say, to New Zealand via the Panama Canal. And look, it's a massive statement of confidence, but we shouldn't take anything for granted. There is a political force seeking to restrict the ability of these vessels to continue to operate. They'll be safe for as long as New Zealand First is a part of the government, but the Green Party have clearly declared that they don't see a long-term future for fishing in New Zealand that relies on bottom trawling, which is why my mission is to ensure they never, ever hold the benches of Treasury.
Yeah, and I've sensed your discomfort with their potential return. So bottom trawling, as a practice, is say 70% of our fish are garnered that way. If it was banned, what would be the economic impact?
Well, it would be catastrophic. It would close down the fishing industry in New Zealand. I mean, as it is in the inshore fishing industry, we've got a profusion of snapper. The reason why the science doesn't seem to keep pace in relation to what's happening to the Tarakihi stocks, is that I think there's a mismatch, there's an imbalance. We're not appreciating the effect of changing water temperatures. A lot of snapper around, they're voracious feeders. I suspect they're eating the juvenile Tarakihi. So, yeah, there's a great deal of disruptiveness in the ecosystem out there, and the scientific models aren't quite catching up, and the Greens are looking for binary, simplistic explanations. There's a lot of recreational activists in Auckland. They're very mean-spirited against the fishing industry. Sadly, they have no impact on my leadership. They're just white noise.
Well, speaking of your leadership, obviously, you know, Winston's feelings here, and with these overtures, military overtures from China in the wider Pacific, and bearing in mind the relationships are testy that they're becoming, Solomon Islands, Cook Islands, Aussie, now Fiji, New Zealand somewhat caught in the middle. So do we team up with the big players with the big bombs, or do we negotiate something more akin to the whanaungatanga we're renowned for? Where do you think we should be as an advocate for our people and our ways, Shane, position ourselves in what is a concerning geopolitical situation?
Well, if there ever was a time for collective strength throughout the Pacific, now is the time. China is always going to be chancing its arm. It's an emerging superpower in relation not only to its economy, but it's seeking to stamp its, make its impact, make a stamp of power in this particular part of the world. I think this is a wake-up call to these Timu politicians out of Rarotonga, who thought it was a smart idea to turn their backs on New Zealand. And really all they've done is encourage this type of behavior in our backyard from China. So it's really important that collectively we send a clear message to China. No, we are not a sandpit where you can continue to behave in a belligerent fashion or take us for granted as the French tried to do in the 60s and 70s. Naturally, we don't have the political and military arsenal of a superpower, but at the same time, China is very mindful of its political and diplomatic credentials, and it's only right and proper that our leader, Winston Peters, as our foreign minister, should send a clear message on behalf of New Zealand and our Pacific neighbours.
Tēnā koe. Just finally, I too was surprised, as many would have been, that there was a 50 mil deal struck for critical minerals with companies down in on the west coast, 20 to Melbourne Barrytown and 30 elsewhere. Now, these are loans, I'm assuming, eh, Shane? They're going to be paid back.
Yeah, now these are financial transactions. We're not going to be either feckless or reckless with the Crown checkbook. The government does, however, want to see the emergence of rare earth mineral industry in New Zealand. And to do that, we want to magnetise, we want to facilitate the emergence of firms that can attract international and domestic capital. We want to emulate what the Jacinda Ardern government did with $20 million into a gold mine. The Aussies have since piled into that gold mine. They've paid the government their money back. Since then, hundreds of millions of dollars have been invested into that sector. And I'm confident with skillful fiscal navigation, we can replicate that.
Yeah, but we can't allow ourselves to be seen as, the sandpit for international mineral seekers, can we?
Yeah, I think there is quite a lot of criticism. And, hey, we're a democracy. And if there are anxieties, then we have the ballot box. But all I'm saying, it's an opportunity for expanding semi-processing of minerals in New Zealand. We have the ability to extract more value. We have the capacity if we're operating within suitable guardrails, to generate more value, extract the rare properties out of the gravel that is scattered throughout the West Coast. And we shouldn't catastrophize these things. Providing people are operating within the law, they can sell, as far as I'm concerned, to whatever sector is willing to buy. There'll always be security considerations, and the final nature of these transactions will go back to Cabinet anyhow.
Yeah, tēnā koe. But shouldn't we always be concerned about the ethical usages of whatever we're involved in?
Yeah, at the end of the day, I feel it's important that people bear in mind there are statutory obligations. There are international obligations that Kiwis have signed up to. Providing investors and providing firms are obeying the law, then I don't think it's appropriate for NGOs or politicians to get down to a finicky level and continually try and run people, investors' businesses for them. That's why we have the law.
Interesting points, and I thank you for your time today. Look forward to our next cordial. Thank you, Shane.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, Shane. All the best to you for Matariki celebrations coming up this week as well.